You're listening to the Avenue Church Podcast. Our desire is that this message will inspire you to encounter Jesus and find a better way to do life. For more info and to connect with us, visit us online at theavenuechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Merry Christmas. It feels like it, doesn't it? It actually feels like it. I know that Halloween finished and Home Depot automatically had the Christmas stuff out, but today actually feels like the start of the season. Can I get an amen for that? It's cold outside, or cold for us, which is nice. I like that very, very much. But just to raise the hands real quick, how many of you already have your trees up? Raise your hands. That's a lot of people. All right, in November, how many people had their trees up? First week of November, how many people had their trees up? Okay, y'all are a little psycho, but I get it, because there's something about these symbols of Christmas that bring us joy, right? It's this anticipation. There's just this giddy excitement, even if it's 85 degrees and 80% humidity outside, which just feels wrong to have a tree and lights up. It brings us something. It brings us joy. The other day, I found joy in a very unexpected place in my life, and you would think maybe it was in one of your four children. No. Maybe it was a date night with your wife. Nuh-uh. That didn't happen. I mean, it does. I find joy in them for sure. But this unexpected place I found joy was a Saturday filled with cleaning my garage. That's tough. That's tough, right? My garage looked terrible, guys. Absolute wreck, chaos, mess. And the reason that my garage looked the way that it did is because I had a buddy who got a new big green egg. You know the big green eggs? Awesome. He was giving away his other one. Actually, he was going to pay for the people to take it away, like pay $100 for them to like go throw it away. I was like, no, I want it. So he gave me his big green egg. And so I got it. We loaded it up. We had to take it apart because those things are very heavy. We get it, and I have it in my garage. And this is a few months ago. I put it in my garage, and then I start researching what kind of stand do I want to put this thing on. So as I'm online, do I want to build one? Do I want to buy one? Well, they're like $600, so I don't know if I want to buy one, so I'm going to build one. And I'm going back and forth. Do I have time to build one? No, but do I want to spend money to get one? And so that big green egg is just sitting there as I deliberate my decision, and then life's getting in the way, and I stop looking for stands, and there it is, just sitting in the middle of my garage. My wife can't park in there, and we just got a new garage door opener too, and it like works now, and so she could. But she couldn't because there's a big green egg in the way. But what happened around this grill that's in my garage is all of a sudden it starts attracting other things. My tools, like it's in the way of putting a tool up. So I put a tool just like right beside it. Boxes on boxes. And I'm going to blame my wife mostly for this one. I do think that when the garage gets messy, she passive-aggressively, or maybe aggressive-aggressively, just grabs boxes and just chunks them as far as she can into that garage. I see her getting out and just punting them in the garage, just and probably cussing me while she's doing it too. And so things start building up around this big green egg to the point to where my garage looks the very worst my garage has ever looked. And my in-laws saw it that way too. And my father-in-law's garage is perfect. You can eat off the floor in there. And so I got to a point to where I didn't even care what they thought. It was too much work and too much time to get this big green egg out. I had a life, I have work, I have things to do. And so it just sat there and it accumulated junk. And that my garage was my least favorite room in the house. Every time I walked through it, I would just think, ugh, there's something I need to do. I know, you know when that reminder of that thing you need to do that you don't want to do keeps happening? How that feels just on your soul, just this dread. Every time I walked through, every time I felt this. So I decided before Halloween, we were having a bunch of people over. The kids were going to be playing all around, and we need to have that room, you know, acceptable. And so I did the hard work. It was very hard. I finally got that green egg put on a stand out on my patio. And once I got rid of that big green egg out of my garage, then the work was able to begin. And I'm telling you, it was a full day's worth of work. I had two truck bed loads of things I just threw away because I didn't need it anymore. I was like, you know what? I haven't used that rope in forever. It doesn't look great. That's going to the trash. This little wagon that we pull behind the bike, that's going in the trash. And I threw it in the church dumpster. Don't tell anybody. I got caught by the facilities guy, and I think I got in trouble. Well, I started throwing stuff away, and I started just knocking out. Then I started reorganizing. Then I got my tools exactly where they needed to be to where it was finally done. I'm sweeping, I'm blowing it out, I'm vacuuming, I'm doing all the things to where I step back and I'm sweaty and I'm dirty. And I look at this garage and I think, yeah, this looks pretty good. Even to the point we had people over the next day and me and some of the guys, we were hanging out in that garage. Hanging out in that garage. I'm sitting on my lawnmower. We're sitting in chairs. Like, it was a cool time. It went from my least favorite room to my favorite room in the house to where we park that Suburban into the garage and you see how clean it is and you open the door and you're like, it was months ago. And I'm like, man, this place is looking pretty good. This place is looking pretty good. But something that can be your least favorite room filled with dread can also be your favorite room, but there's that one thing that is in the way, this one thing that the clutter and the chaos surrounds itself, the one thing that's disorganized and disrupting your joy in life. It's this darkness that needs to be addressed. Isaiah speaks to this as we're in the Christmas season. We're going to read Isaiah 9. This is the prophecy talking about Jesus being born. And Israel was in a time of darkness. They had their own big green egg. They had their own thing hovering over them. The Assyrians were pressing in. They had spiritual confusion. They had failed leadership. They were crying out, living in despair and persecution. And this is the voice that speaks to the people. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you. As people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. The bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning for the fuel of the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's a promise to the people of God about a light in their present darkness. There is a hope. Now, this is written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus. And what he tells the Israelites to do is just to be stand firm, steadfast in this light. There is hope. There is opportunity for joy even in the darkness. Now, they had some existential crises going on as a nation, such as actual threat of their lives being taken or them being enslaved. They are living in this spiritual darkness as a nation, as a people together. But we, living on the other side of Jesus, we still know what it's like to live in the darkness, because as we see all the Christmas lights and all the songs and the movies that are out and the joy of Christmas, we still have bills to pay. We still have kids that are fighting. We still have brother-in-laws arguing college football every chance he can. We still have everyday lives, and we also have things that are very difficult in our lives that even though it's the Christmas season and we have all these lights and we have this rejoicing of a Savior, it's not perfect. And many of us have a big green egg in our soul that is collecting clutter, that's making this place where God wants to inhabit in your life, where maybe you have come down and made a profession of faith and been dunked under the water, and you think, it's all good now, God has cleaned me, only to throw the boxes back into that room of your soul where Jesus lives, to where now you don't even want to enter into that room. That darkness creeps in. No matter how long you've been a Christian, it happens at some point and will happen again. This clutter of the soul that Jesus wants to live in. This clutter, this chaos, this pain, to the point to where you don't even want to open the door or even look at it, because it reminds you that there's something that you need to do. There's something that you need to take care of. There's something that you need to address. Maybe it's some bad habits that you've picked up. Maybe it's some wounds that you haven't reconciled. Maybe it's a fear that you keep walking around. What is it that you haven't dealt with in your life that is preventing you from enjoying the room of the soul that Jesus has decided to be Emmanuel, God with us in? What is it in your lives? And I know that's a difficult thing to think about, because just like when you walk through that messy garage or you have that task hanging over your shoulder, you don't really want to think about it. It's finally cold outside. There's been just some fantastic football on, hasn't there? Where are my Aggie fans at? That's just so like not masculine, but all right. I didn't plan that one at all. That one just happened. Oh man, I am so sorry. How do you recover from me doing that? Jason, you liked that, didn't you? Yeah, you liked that. But there's some things going on that are really good, and then there's some things going on that just get in the way of your life. It gets in the way of you hearing God, and I want to go to just the story in Matthew 1, 18 through 24. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to summarize it. But we're talking about Joseph, like the forgotten man in the story of Jesus. But Joseph, have you ever put yourself in his shoes? Like, what's going on there? An angel of the Lord goes to Mary and says, you're going to conceive the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is going to conceive in you the Son of God. And she says, okay. And then she goes and tells her fiance. So now we get to be in Joseph's shoes. His young bride-to-be comes up to him and says, I am pregnant. But it's not what you think. It's God's baby. I'm going to take a sip of water. Can you imagine being on the other side of that conversation? Can you imagine? Seriously, that's a thing that happened. We believe that this happened. And Joseph is sitting there. He didn't get talked to by an angel beforehand. They didn't sit them down in premarital counseling and like, all right, guys, this is going to be difficult, but bear with me. This is what's going to happen. You good? You good? If y'all are both good, we're going to do it. No, he went to Mary. The angel went to Mary and talked to Mary. And then Mary was the messenger of God's truth to her fiance. And Joseph, you know, is crushed by this. His mind is spinning. Why is she lying? Who do I know, the person? How could she do this to me? And so he makes up in his mind, because he is a good man. Joseph is a good man. He has every right to put her to death in front of other people in those times, which is crazy, but it's true. But instead of that, he decides he's going to break it off quietly and just go their separate ways, to not bring shame on her and to limit the shame on him. But his life is ruined by this fact alone, that she is pregnant and it's not his baby. His life is ruined. But he has a dream. And in the dream, the angel comes to him and basically says, hey, what Mary is saying checks out. this is from the Holy Spirit. This is the Son of God. And Joseph, because of the order of his life, because he is living in this obedient way, has space in his life to hear that message. And what does he do? He says, this is Emmanuel, God with us. So even though it changes the course of his life, even though it's not ideal, even though it's very difficult to swallow and fathom and to understand, Joseph creates space in his soul to say yes to the Son of God being his son. He says yes, and it wasn't easy. His life is changed. Not for the worse, but it does look way different. We're created to hear God's words, and a lot of times that is not ideal for us. It can be very convenient. God can be very disruptive, especially when you think things are going good and you're rocking it all on your own and you're crushing it, you're killing it. God loves to come in and to speak to you. But as Christians, as believers, and even people who are in here and you might be living in the darkness and you haven't created that space in your soul to hear God yet, God is wanting to speak to you, and he's wanting to remove that big green egg of sin and shame and separation between him. And he wants to inhabit the room in your life where he resides, the soul, your very being, and he wants to take over. But we are also called to keep that room clean. Now, some of you might be thinking, it's all by grace through faith that we are saved. There's nothing that we can do to be saved. And you know what? You are absolutely right. God can do what only God can do and bring light into the darkness. We can't do that. We can't remove that one thing called sin. That's all up to the Holy Spirit of God. We can't do that. And you're absolutely right. We can't do that. We need a Savior because we are inherently sinful and flawed. And without Christ's love and intervention, we are destined to destruction. He comes in and does what only he can do. But once he does that and he inhabits your soul, he asks us to keep it clean so that we can hear, so that we can hang out, so that we can dwell in God's presence. We're created to experience our salvation here on this earth in partnership with the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Now, I'm going to spend just a moment on this point. I think that a lot of Christians, especially in this current environment and with churches and awesome facilities and great music and all of the things that the church itself provides for you to experience God, I think a lot of people have that overwhelming moment where that big green egg, that sin is taken away. And then they sit and they wait and they let their lives be just what they are. And they're waiting for a destination someday at one point. Just as Isaiah talks to Israel, a child is coming. A child is coming. Just as Joseph receives Emmanuel, the Son of God, a child is here, a child is here. And then one day shall return. I think we have a lot of Christians living for one day he shall return. And we're missing the point. Salvation is not a plane ticket to a destination. Salvation is a journey that Jesus invites us on to go with him so that we can bring heaven on earth right now. And I think that the enemy really wants to clutter up our souls and to bring disorganization and chaos to our lives in a way that we are not bringing heaven down to this earth and living out the joy and the peace and the hope and the love of what salvation actually means. And we have a lot of depressed, sad, angry Christians who are no longer effective in this world, who are just waiting for that one day eternal punch card like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I got my golden ticket. I'm just going to wait until I can go to the party. The party is meant to be experienced right now. That's the message of salvation, and that's one that gets overlooked. Yes, he is coming. He is going to come, and all things will be made good. All things will be as it should be. All things will be set right in our lives. But in the meantime, how do we wait? How do we wait? Well, first thing I think we should do is I think we need to take spiritual inventory of our lives. I think we need to walk into that soul, that garage, and look around. Some of you haven't opened that door in a long time. Some of you know exactly what it looks like and what you need to do to get it cleared out, but you need to take spiritual inventory in your own lives. So just take a moment and think to yourselves, what is that big green egg in my soul right now? What is it? What's in the way? Are there certain habits that need to be changed? Are there certain sins that need to be asked for forgiveness and corrected? Are there certain areas and wounds that are not being addressed or processed? What is in the way of God's voice speaking to you to tell you how to experience his joy? Taking spiritual inventory. Then rolling up those sleeves, praying to God for the strength and for the intervention, and getting to work. Getting to work. Think about it for a moment. I will let some pauses go so that you can really reflect on your lives right now. But what is that one thing that needs to change? Because I guarantee it, you can all figure it out. One thing that's in the way. Because that one thing becomes many things as it attracts like a magnet the clutter and the chaos of life. That's how sin does. You don't wake up one day over here and think, how did I get there? It's a step after step after step in the wrong direction. But what God wants to do is he wants to bring order and peace to your soul. He wants to move you in the right direction to experience your salvation so that you can be effective bringing heaven to this earth with the most joy, hope, peace and love that affects people all around you in that sphere of your life. For God to speak to you with a clear, uncluttered voice to organize your soul. Dallas Willard says this, "The unsurrendered soul is a disordered soul. It is not prepared to receive the life of God." We need order. Jesus brings us that. Richard Foster wrote, "The disciplines clean out the inner rooms so that the divine guest may dwell within." We call on the Spirit to clean out our rooms today. N.T. Wright says, "You become what you practice. The habits of holiness prepare us for the life of the age to come." We need to be prepared. We don't sit in the eternal airport with our bags packed waiting for what's next. No, we live out the journey of our salvation in a way that is the very best way to do life. Because I promise you, we've all tried it a different way. And we know that there is more. We have a voice in the wilderness, a light in the darkness, a child who was born, God who is with us, wanting to partner with us, take over with us, clean out our garages with us, and move us in the direction to where we can get the most joy and peace and love out of this life as divinely possible. That's why I love the Christian message and the Christian truth, because it is the one thing that subverts this dark world that we see every day, that goes beyond. It's this little flickering, gleaming light in this dark, just chaotic, disorganized, broken world, calling us out of that darkness into living in this light that is to be experienced and tasted right now. Right now. What needs to be removed? What needs to be dealt with? What is God calling you today to start doing while we wait? What is it? What is in your life that God is speaking to you right now? He's yelling over the boxes. He's yelling over the overflowing recycling bin. He's yelling over the pole saw in the garage floor. He's yelling over the bills that need to be paid. He's yelling over the marriage that seems to be broken. He's yelling over the boss that has unrealistic expectations. He's yelling over the despair that is in your heart. He is yelling over the depression that's hanging over you like a dark cloud. He's yelling over the illness that might be in your family or in your own personal life. He's yelling over the broken, terrible things that have happened to you. He's yelling over the wars. He's yelling over the politics. He's yelling over the disgusting news. He is yelling over all of these things that are in the way to hear the voice of God. And he's saying, I am here. I have entered into your reality. I came down from the throne and I was a humble child who grew in wisdom and stature and became the savior of the world through my atoning sacrifice on the cross. And I want you. But I don't just want to save your soul. I want to live life with you. I want to shepherd you. I want to lead you. I want to be your friend. I want to be your father. I want to be your wonderful counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting father, and your Prince of Peace. And we take a deep breath, and at the end of the day, we know that there is light, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be great. Some of us need to pray today for the very first time to let God come in and remove that big thing that's in the way of a relationship with Him. Your sin. I just pray you do that now, even in this very moment. It's very easy. Just, God, please come into my life, inhabit my soul, forgive me of my sins, you are my Lord. However you want to pray those words. Those who've prayed those words, what's accumulating junk and disorganization in your soul? Your prayer to God is, Jesus, illuminate in the darkness of my soul that's become cluttered with things that I didn't intend. Help me point that out and then help me remove them, but help me roll up my sleeves so I can partner with you and start doing some of those works. And we do this and watch your soul become your favorite place. Watch your soul become your favorite room. Watch what God does with the clean garage in your heart. Jesus, we thank you just for the reality of your existence and of your presence, God. And even though it might seem dark and we might be confused at times, God, I pray that that light continues to burn bright. That over all the junk and the chaos and the big green eggs, God, that we're able to roll up those sleeves and organize our life in a way that we can be effective because we can hear you. We're hanging with you. We're sitting with you in the room. And ultimately, God, thank you for doing what we couldn't do, and that's saving our souls from what we were destined for and giving us something we don't deserve. And that is life with you. Thank you for your love, your forgiveness, your peace, your joy, and our hope in that message. And it's in your wonderful name that we pray. Amen. All right, Avenue Church, this is going to be a fun season. I hope you enjoy this Christmas time. And remember, Christmas is one day. This season is meant to be enjoyed. And let's look towards the Father to give us that joy, because a child is with us. Emmanuel, he is here. I love you, and I will see you in the chairs next week.
Thanks for joining us today. Our hope is that this message inspires you to encounter Jesus and find a better way to do life. We'd love to hear from you and get you connected on your journey. Visit theavenuechurch.com/connect to get started. To hear the latest from us, don't forget to subscribe. See you soon.